Welcome to Real Flix Reviews, or like a book club for people like reading. Next 2 months are going to be Robin Williams tribute, so James picked the movie Toys, made in 1992. We talk about episode 6 of Firefly, and we bring you movie news at the end of the program. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens.
And the old guy is here.
We're going to let the old guy tell the description.
Okay. So when a military general inherits a toy-making company and begins making war toys, his employees band together to stop him before he ruins the name of Zevo Toys forever.
That so doesn't really describe the movie. I mean,
That's it. See you guys later. We're done.
That's about it.
this movie's more like a surrealism threw up and added Robin Williams to the mix.
You know, I was actually quite interested in the fact that, you know, Tim Burton didn't direct this one. Colors and the palettes and everything. Yeah. Did you know that they actually filmed this in Washington, the green grass?
We were talking about that, trying to figure out where did they get that green grass?
I was kind of thinking it must have been like New Zealand or something, but no, they only went up to Washington.
Yeah.
Two states away.
And I wish I knew where it was, because I'd like to go see it. I want to see those fields and fields of green grass all at the same height. It was just...
Yeah, one of those...
How did they do that?
Near a college. I don't remember exactly. I looked it up and I read a little bit about it. But yeah, it said it was near Washington College. I don't think it was a state college, but one of them.
And this definitely... I think this is towards the end of when movies had starting credits. Because 92, 93 is when they started really phasing him out. I mean, this movie and Ninja Turtle 2, Secret of the Ooze, or whatever, was the last movie I really remember having starting credits.
Hmm. Yeah. Anyways, one of the things about Robin Williams that I find interesting is that you never have to wind him up. You more have to reel him in. Mm-hmm. And he seemed really reeled in for this film. He wasn't off the wall like he normally is. That was an interesting thing to me, because he only went off a couple times, really.
Well, this movie was so off the wall, I don't think he needed to be. I think that was Robin Williams' genius, is when he realized when he didn't have to be, because I think if he was even more crazier than this movie, I think it would have been even worse than it is.
Well, all the characters were pretty zany, and so what happens is, instead of just being Robin Williams zany, everybody was kind of crazy and had their crazy things.
Not as much as Joan Cusack. I think she was the queen of crazy.
Well, Joan Cusack. And
I actually knew she was a robot before they even... You know, I haven't seen the film this before. This is my random, weird movie I haven't seen pick.
You sure picked the right one.
Yeah, I did. I definitely did. I think they should bring back the plastic hairdo style.
You like that?
I kind of thought that was
easy. She could just pop it on your head and head on out.
June Cleaverish.
That's right.
Yeah, and actually, they say the field scenes were filmed in the Palouse region of Washington State, just outside of Washington State University. So I was right. It was Washington State University. Anyways, but the interesting thing is that Robin Williams is putting on his costumes, and one of the costumes that he put on, the orange one that was all orange, mm-hmm. he said he kind of felt like he was going to be like the eighth Doctor Who.
He was a big Doctor Who fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, very big. So
I could see that in some of his styles. But, other than the feel that this one was a Tim Burton movie, and it really wasn't, it was, let's go back, it was Barry Levinson, yes, thank you. Anyways, he's one of the writers, and he actually is the director of this one. There was that scene where he's putting his sister to bed, mm-hmm. and you have that kind of the swan thing? Yeah, the swan mm-hmm. thing, but there's that little cutout, and then you see the background mm-hmm. and everything. That, to me, and there was a couple other things that made it kind of look like you're actually at a theater. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's something that you don't see in films these days anymore, where they kind of design sets in that type of feature.
Yeah.
That was an interesting thing.
The use of size, a scale in this movie, I think is what you're talking about, because it was always like a set within a set.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of those scenes were that way. You know?
Do you have any favorites? Because one of my favorites was the Rubik's Cube room.
room
with everything was shrinking on. I really loved that.
That was good.
Yeah, that one actually, there was some really great quotes in this movie. But, that was actually one of the ones where it was one of the better quotes. I don't have it right in front of me for some reason.
Where you look for it, I'll give you mine. Mine was, Every time it was I always feel like I always feel like I'm watching The Last Temptation of Barbie. That's the one where they're doing the Barbie stretching to see if the doll's head will pop off.
Oh, right.
And oh no, he broke my sister.
Yes.
Well, actually,
one of my favorite quotes, if we're going to go there, is I want my string beans to be quarantined.
Yeah, oh, that's right. So that was
LL Cool J.
Yeah, I want a moat around my mashed potatoes.
He doesn't want his food touching. He wants military food or a tray for everything, right? And
yeah.
Yeah.
And I love his version of the military. I love his version of the military when he can be dropped off anywhere and somehow find his way, even though he doesn't have a map.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, this is Jamie Foxx's very first movie.
Trivia, I didn't do quotes.
They're true.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, the security outfits they were in totally looked like they were from, like, a 90s rap video.
I actually wrote down, I was, like, kind of like seeing the TSA in the beginning stages, the way that they were making them get in there.
And that soundtrack, holy crap. This is, like, the definition of a 90s movie with that soundtrack.
Yeah, it really was.
All that was missing was Hammer Pants.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, though, my favorite scene of all though is when the general goes to the arcade.
Yes.
And he starts shooting the UN vehicles on purpose.
Right. Yes.
UN, you don't need to be there. And he's kind of discussing, kind of bringing it back to the Vietnam War, which is one of the ones that he was supposed to have served in. And I think they really actually need to make a UN game where you get to destroy the UN. I thought that was great. That's actually what I would have been doing.
Good
My
idea,
wife
huh?
even pointed that out. She goes, this is what you would be doing if that was your game.
Oh, totally. And that game later on in the thing when Robin Williams was kind of discovering what the general was doing.
Yeah.
I always thought that game looked fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where they're just shooting random crap. I mean, come on, make that game. I would actually still buy it. It looked so much fun as a kid when I saw this movie.
Yeah, there was some fun things in there, and they had the precursor to drones, the Tommy tanks, and the
whirly bird.
I wrote it down.
Well, they brought up drones.
Hurly burly helicopter.
There you go.
Hurdy birdie.
Basically, drones before drones was a word.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they did kind of.
The interesting thing is that one of the trivia things is it says that excuse me, I keep getting some caught in my throat. Is Barry Levinson. Took 10 years to create this film. It only took 10 months to shoot it.
I couldn't, you know what? After seeing this movie, I can see what took so long to make it. It's because it's a very offbeat script.
It is.
And I can totally see really, really working hard to make a movie like this.
Yeah, and this one is actually nominated for the worst film of the year.
Really? Was it a Razzie?
I don't think it was a Razzie. It was something else. I was trying to find that earlier and I couldn't find it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I noticed. You know, and that's actually the biggest point I want to bring up is this film, it drags. It really drags. I couldn't believe how bad this film actually dragged.
You're shocked by this?
Well, I hadn't seen the film before.
Oh,
this is something I've never seen.
I do have a question. I thought the beginning of this movie, when you had the funeral scene, I thought Robin Williams looked like a Malcolm McDowell in A Clockwork Orange with that outfit he was wearing.
Yeah, my wife kind of pointed that out, too. She mentioned something about that.
I saw that, and I'm like, wow, so that's what happened to that guy. He worked for Zevo Toys.
And the thing that really bothered me is the fact that we still do not have virtual headsets that are cheap enough for the masses to get that have the full experience.
Oculus Rift, it's on the way.
Somewhere down the line, but it's still not going to be, you know, affordable for the masses.
Was this one of LL Cool J's early movies? Like,
yes, it wasn't his. From what I could find out, it wasn't his first, but it was close.
Because apparently everybody loves lady, ladies love in this movie.
Oh, yeah. The most interesting scene to me, and I want to see if Rob goes along with it. That shot that he fired at the fly. And did you notice that he pulled the trigger? You heard the shot, and then about 2 seconds later, you see the dent in the door. Mm-hmm. Did you guys notice that too? Mm-hmm. How off that was.
Oh yeah.
That was the worst thing I've ever seen in any film. Is that little scene right there?
Followed by one of the funniest.
Yeah.
Guy shooting himself in the foot.
I still like.
I love that medic.
Yeah, the medic is pretty funny. But
I like the elephant. Too.
Oh yeah.
which one?
All the elephants were pretty funny.
Oh.
The way they used their trunks for different things.
Yeah.
Cameras and guns and toys. Oh,
the toy weapons in this were hilarious. My favorite one was that one of them was the ball that bounced when they was playing the ukulele.
Oh yeah.
That little doll with a girl suckling, and then they had the six shooter pop out.
And they also had the copper tone baby that's running around with the dog.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Surviving the big war, right?
I think they had more fun with the props in this movie than anything else.
They must have, because I mean that's really where I think the film had its appeal.
was the props?
Yeah, it was the props and the little toys and the knickknacks and for me this film, the first note I wrote down was Willy Wonka, but for toys. That's really and what this film pretty much is summed up.
But I would
but
say
not as good as Willy Wonka.
I would say this is closer to the Johnny.
Nowhere near as good
would say
as
this
Willy
is,
Wonka.
I would say this is closer to the Johnny Depp version than everybody's favorite.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give it that much. That's giving it way too much credit.
I don't think so. I hate that version.
This movie was far worse.
I would rather have Gene Wilder any day than the one with Johnny Depp. So I really dislike the new one.
The Johnny Depp one was totally different. It was dark, and it was a whole different genre.
That's really what it was.
It was supposed
to be a lot more darker. Yeah. It wasn't supposed to be the same as Gene Wilder.
No.
It wasn't trying to compete.
And that's not taking anything away from the Gene Wilder
surgery.
This was really good.
To get back on track, that was the lamest Lincoln-esque speech ever. By Robin Williams talking to the toys. You know, you've never seen your springs exposed.
That's right.
Really?
We're not going to war. We're going to fight these war toys with...
Yeah.
And by the way, talk about war toys. Why does a toy drone need an exterior target reticle?
That's actually a curious thing, too, as well. I didn't understand that, but I think it was just
It was a cool effect.
Yeah, I think it was for a cool effect in that it was just for looks. Really.
There's nothing that makes any sense in this movie, so what's the difference?
Oh, there we go. It was... nominated for Worst Picture at the Hastings Bad Cinema Society's 15th Stinkers Bad Movie Awards in 92.
Hastings? Is that the English version?
I have no idea. That probably is.
I think it is, yeah.
My first note...
It's bad.
My first note was the start of this movie foreshadows the strangeness of the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Because this movie is a long, drawn-out, strange trip. I love the music video, though. I thought that was ingenious.
Yeah, the music video was and it wasn't. I think it was very Talking Heads type of.
I would say B-52s.
Well, that's what we thought. It was very
that's
kind
actually
of
a pretty
B-52ish.
Because the sound of it was very
B-52s. Right, it was.
You're right. But there was a lot of different things that
did it say who did the score?
I don't know. I think it was
Let me see.
I know his name, and I can't think of it.
While you're looking it up, I would say this movie's so bad that even Robin Williams at the end was glad it was over because he was clapping.
Yeah.
You know, the opening scene that you're talking about where they're kind of dancing and
the
Nutcracker-ish? Yeah, the Nutcracker-ish thing where they're running through the Manhattan skyline thing that they built. Didn't make me want to watch the film. Didn't really make me want to continue, to be
honest. Yeah, really. I remember watching this when it came out and wondering, what the hell am I watching? Where's Robin Williams? Where's all the fun?
But I'm actually glad that I picked this without reading up on it. Because it was actually quite a surprise. And, it's a Robin Williams I've never seen. And
you were surprised, really?
It really highlight that even Robin Williams, who is one of the best actors, and I don't think any of us are going to disagree on that point, had poor taste at some points.
I would have loved to know, and I don't remember if I've watched anything about why he picked this movie. Because I'm assuming at that point of his career, he could have said yes and no to it.
I'm surprised Bill Murray didn't beat him out on it.
This doesn't seem like a Bill Murray movie.
Can you imagine?
Bill Murray picked some horrible films.
Of course he has.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course he has.
Any of the comedians out there who's picked bad films, I think Bill Murray's at the top.
Anything
right
he's done
there
it on
with,
purpose.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
Some of the best scenes in this movie, though, are Robin Williams goofing around like that sound jacket.
Yeah, he had a lot of fun with that, the one with the lights that was actually supposedly designed by a really up there Italian designer.
Oh, was it the sound one with the
speaker? No, the lights one, the ones with all the lights, the blinking lights and everything.
Yeah, I think that was the sound jacket.
I don't think that made sound, did it?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's just...
It was some idiot designing a coat that Robin Williams said, I'll put on film, why not?
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah.
Jeez.
But he looks so young in this film.
Oh, he looks crazy. Oh, he does.
Surprisingly. And John's right earlier. You know, he kind of looks like he's still mid-30s, early 40s.
He didn't really age all that much, except he kept getting grayer, which... Oh,
there
was
that
amazing
one scene where they're sitting there and he's talking to the girl.
I mean, look how young he looks.
Yeah. He's sitting there and he's talking to the girl.
Sorry, you
and
guys
can,
can't see it.
And you can see how much hair he has.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was one
he's
of the
one hairy,
man.
Hairy
you've got,
dude.
You've got to find, if you guys ever have a chance, go on YouTube and look out him meeting Coco the gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
She was hitting on him.
Mm-hmm.
I bet she was.
It's like,
you had a great
one
time
of my
with
people.
Her. Yeah.
Mm. Anyways, but you know, this film... I really can't go anywhere but a one. I really can't.
My opinion?
Yeah, go.
Yeah, I unfortunately, sitting there watching the movie, I was thinking, okay, what would I give this? And I go, if we were half points, it would be a 0.5. So since we haven't done the point system yet, we're going to...
We're discussing it.
Yeah, it'll be a one. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be the worst movie, I think, that Robert Williams has ever did.
I would actually agree with you.
I really
that.
Think so.
I actually have to look through his back catalog to say it is, but definitely up there. Unfortunately, I got to agree. This movie is a 1 out of 5. I was going to give it a 2 because it made me laugh, and I realized it doesn't make up for no. It doesn't make up for the hour and 45 minutes I waited for it to be funny. So,
yeah.
No, this is...
You know, it's eccentric. It's a very niche genre. If there's somebody out there that likes it, go ahead, write us hate mail. Tell us why you like it, please. Give us a good reason why you like it. That's really what I'm
looking
for.
Didn't even our phone a friend wanted to say that's an hour and a half, we'll never get back?
Yeah, he said it's an hour and 45 minutes, he'll never get back.
You'll never get back? Yeah.
And this is literally what I wrote describing the whole movie. This movie is 1984 meets surrealism made in the 90s. Fits the entire movie.
I tell you what, guys out there, audience, and my co-host, is that, you know, it was just a thought that went through my head. I'll go with a film that I haven't seen.
You know, there's only about 30 movies you could have picked.
I think
the one.
Well, on the positive side, it's not a trauma movie, but it's pretty close.
Yeah,
it's very close.
But, you know, that was a poor pick on my thing. You
yes.
know, but I will make up for it when we get to comedy. I will.
You better.
I have a choice.
You better.
I have a choice in mind that I've already seen that I know is a good one. Good.
You better. So we're going to kind of switch gears here to talk about Firefly Episode 6.
Yes.
Mrs. Reynolds.
The Mrs. Reynolds episode.
Mrs. Reynolds episode.
And right. We have already kind of touched on this one before. And, you know, I just want to point out that this one has some of my favorite quotes. Favorite quotes. Someone tries to kill you, you try to kill them right back.
That's good. That's
good,
good sound advice, good actually.
The best advice of everything Firefly ever gave.
I do. One of the reasons I like this episode, though, is I still think it begins to kind of hash out his character more, though, because you get to see a little more of his caring side.
Well, how...
And you get to see the fact that he doesn't want to be married. He doesn't
yeah, well,
be...
how plastered did he have to be when he talked to... what's the other guy's name?
Jane.
Yeah. Was I that loaded? And he says, I don't know,
I
passed
out.
You know, it's like, you know, you had to be awfully plastered not to remember something like that.
They did explain, you know, you drink a cup of her cup that she drank out of, blah, 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 and you're hit.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And I love
but I like the point when Jane shows up and he's got that really big gun.
Yeah.
And he's
yeah,
like... Jane. All right, what the heck is going on here? And it's Jane trying to give him his gun for the wife.
That's right. I'll trade you. I'll trade you. This is my favorite gun. You've got a custom trigger.
Yeah.
The other one I like is like, that's why I never kiss him on the mouth.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they all stop
right.
and
that's
go.
Right.
They all pause and go,
hmm.
What?
Yeah.
Adam Baldwin, you really nailed this.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good one for him.
I want to see those two together in another TV show because they they play off better than most people.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I like the way they turned the Firefly into a fighter there, being able to shoot that gun off inside a suit, right?
Yeah.
How
right?
about that for being smart?
Yeah.
Which is kind of foreshadowing what they did in the movie, which we will do at some point.
Yes, we will.
We'll do it.
We're
I'm more wagging my finger at James for picking such a shitty movie. Oh my God. And with that remark, we're going to remind you that we do have a Facebook page. So direct all your hate mail to the little guy over there.
Well, I got to point out that both of you guys have seen
yes.
that film before.
Yes.
Yes.
You guys went to theater and saw this
yes.
film.
Yes.
I didn't.
Which, that was 20 years ago, so, you know, we've had a long time to make up for paying for it.
Hey, look. All right. Paul and I had to take the kids to go see something, and that seemed about as honest a movie
didn't
to go
Batman
see.
Didn't Batman come out around that time, or was it 90, 91? Or?
No, this was 92.
Oh, I'm saying Batman.
And I saw that in theaters, too.
Anyways.
So, we're gonna switch off to movie news, and James is going to...
Anyway, I got to point out that Christian Bale is jumping off the Steve Jobs Steve Jobs movie.
He did.
He's bailing out. Bale is bailing. Yep. Christian
Which Bale. I have to, I that's the,
I say, think it's a good move by him.
I do too, because I think he's making lousy jobs.
Yeah.
I do got to say though, two things. Noah Wiley is the only good Jobs. Ooh. If you got to watch it, watch Pirates of Silicon Valley.
Absolutely.
And two, that's the one thing I've got to hand it to people like Christian Bale who love what he does enough to go, that's not a good fit. And I've always admired any actor walking away from a guaranteed paycheck.
And considering
Noah Wiley would do this movie. I mean, he would be good for that.
And considering that Christian Bale didn't walk away from American Psycho, which actually it's a very... It's not a movie for everybody, American Psycho, but it is a good film for his acting ability.
I have to admit, I haven't seen it, but from what everybody I know said, they didn't like the movie, but his acting ability in the movie was perfect.
Yeah.
That he really fit the character or something like that.
And my other bit of news is not really technically movie news, is that Tom Hanks is actually stepping away from the cinema and going to books.
Really?
Yes, he's going to be compiling a quote-unquote a collection of stories loosely connected to photographs of typewriters from Hank's personal collection. Isn't that kind of weird?
You know?
Well, at this stage in his life, he can be as weird as he damn well pleases.
I'll be completely honest. If he does it the right way, I think that would be a great movie.
Yeah, you know, it's not a movie, it's a book.
Well, no, but
it's
a
compilement of stories.
But you could, if you do the stories right, you know, But I think it could turn out to be a great movie if he does it right. Do it a certain way. I think you could make a pretty good film out of it.
A film based on it.
His book, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I just kind of think it's an interesting thing. And, you know, I got to say, Tom Hanks in his career hasn't made too many poor choices.
No.
I think his career, if you actually look at it, he's actually done some really good... He's made some really good choices in his career.
One of my
favorite movies is Big by him.
Mm-hmm. I really like his latest one, the one where he was playing Walt Disney.
Yeah.
I really like that movie. I mean, even back to Bosom Buddies. I mean, he's made a very, either been in the right place at the right time or very smart choices. From Captain Phillips to Forrest Gump.
I think it is pretty much just good choices. I think you're right on the part that he's been there at the right time.
I would say a little bit of a little bit of blind luck for some of his career.
Yeah, yeah. But and I mean, his step out after Captain Phillips and Saving Private Ryan.
He
took off after that and did some really amazing things that World War II vets, I think they should be proud of.
Oh, totally.
So, you know, he's really pointed out them, and the Greatest Generation, I think, has had some of the greatest film out of him.
I have to. So is he stepping away from behind the camera, too? Because I actually think I'd love to see...
I don't know if he's going to. They just kind of say that he's penning a new books, and, you know, it's going to be taking up some of his time.
I'd love to see him go the Mel Gibson route, not Crazy Gibson, but if you actually look at Passion of the Christ and Apocalypto... I actually think they're amazing. The feel of them, the quality of them. I'd love to see a Tom Hanks be more of a director, a producer, and go for kind of his style. Because I really love, like, what was it? It was That Thing You Do.
Okay.
You know, I like that movie. He was involved in it. You know, he also did the movie, the TV show that we reviewed last time, the story of Hunter for the Easy Company.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Band of Brothers.
Now, what are you talking about, Passion of the Christ and Apocalypto? Because that was Mel Gibson.
I said I'd love to see him go the way of Mel Gibson, not Crazy Gibson, but with a director.
Okay. All right.
See, this is why you need headphones.
I just kind of missed that part that you were talking about. That I'm like, okay, am I missing something?
You missed it. You didn't hear what
you
said.
Maybe we need to be plugged in. I don't know.
And anyways.
I got some news if you don't have any more.
No, that's it. Yeah, go ahead.
This is one that he actually sent me, and this is actually the dates.
Who's he?
The old guy.
Oh.
I was pointing at you.
I sent him stuff. I researched some of the stuff that he said last week, and I got him some detail.
Yeah, so this has actually made me excited. Captain America Civil War, I was right, May 6, 2016. Doctor Strange, November 4th. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, May 5th, 2017. Thor Ragnarok, which actually has me interested because I just really hope it's better than the last one, July 27th, 2017. The Black Panther, which is a cool character, November 3rd, 2017. The Marvel's Avengers Infinity War Part 1, May 4th, 2018. Captain Marvel, July 6, 2018. By the way, this amazes me how far out they have the
movies planned. They've got it all planned. And I found it all on a number of the movie websites. And I got the dates and the times and the order.
It just amazes me that Disney hopes, well, Disney hopes it works out that well, because I'm impressed. Matter of fact, talk about that. They actually they showed the trailer for the new Avengers movie, and it's Age of Ultron, which is a robot AI that Tony Stark makes.
The Age of Ultron thing, and
no, it's an Avengers movie.
I think I'm kind of burned out on those things. I'm not going to get excited for them anymore. That's really how I feel about it.
Other than the fact that it's an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm hoping they don't saturate the market. I'm more excited for Star Wars than I am for Avengers 2. But I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah. That's pretty much where we're going to have to go. Is we're just going to have to sit back and see how it goes. And hopefully it goes well and not...
Oh, totally.
The way that it has been.
Then again, you guys, you know, we're not beyond taking money. If you want to bribe us for a good review, we'll be glad to take those donations.
Yeah, no, consider it. Depends on how good your bribe is. That's right? Really what it goes down
to. At this rate, it won't take much.
Well, maybe not him.
I got to keep the lights going.
Wait, you have standards? I've seen some of the movies you've picked.
Like the one we just watched.
I'm not sure what type of standard you're setting there, mister.
Hey, we got to go bad sometimes.
Yeah, it's all right. We couldn't blame you because you didn't see it before.
Wait.
Yeah, and I haven't read anything about it.
Last week when Jonathan and I both said toys, it should have been your hint.
Wait.
It's out there. I'm not taking it back.
You know what the worst part is? Wait until we do a bad movie month.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be screwed there because I have a feeling.
There's so much to pick from.
Isn't there?
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I guarantee I know what he's going to pick, unfortunately.
Oh, no, I don't think you do, because you already said that we weren't going with Wicked and Trauma films.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I don't think I would be saying that if I were you.
Well, true. And so, because Ryan is unfortunately absent.
Yeah, you Cadaver don't see the Hunter's guy not here, yeah. So, you know, it's...
Ryan, I love that. Ryan Predestin, Cadaver Hunter.
He actually got back to me and said that he's going to be going with Good Will Hunting. So that's awesome. That's the film we're going to be picking.
So that's one where Robin Williams is playing a supporting character instead of being a leading actor.
Yeah.
And we'll be doing episode 7 of Firefly. Anybody know what that episode actually is titled?
Episode 7, whatever the hell they have in the box set or on Netflix.
Yeah, it'll be... Number 7 on Netflix, whichever one that is.
I didn't look it up.
Yeah.
You didn't?
Well, the last time I looked it up, it was the wrong episode. You can't go with what IMDb says.
No.
No, see, it's all Fox's fault.
It is. I really can't blame IMDb, except for the fact that they should have actually done it the way that Josh Whedon wanted him to.
Yeah, totally.
Anyways.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I gave the movie Toys a very deserving 1 out of 5. James gave it a very deserving 1 out of 5. The old guy gave it a deserving 1 out of 5. And if Ryan gives it anything more than a 1 out of 5...
It won't matter.
He might just get hung up. He's going off the island called No Flicks Reviews.
Let's fool him next week. We're going to say, we gave it a 3.
I actually know a few people that said they were going to watch this episode just because they picked Toys.
Yeah.
Like at least 2. So
I didn't phone a friend even butt in?
No, I think he was so mad about we picked this movie he decided not to watch.
His loss, but Good Will Hunting.
Loss.
Yes, Good Will Hunting is a great film. It's actually the one that made Matt Damon and Benny Affleck film.
Had Ryan not picked it, that was going to be my pick. So I got to come up with something.
I got to say, his ultimate enemy when it comes to movie guys is in the next week's movie.
But I have another one.
Ultimate and
wait till you hear mine.
I mean, he got a paycheck, so
he's a runner-up. And so,
I've got a good one.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as always, we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
We'll be right back.